Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hiya, folks. You're listening to Two Men and the Mouse, episode 114 on the White Dragon Podcast Network, recorded live on June 27th, 2016. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Orlando universe beyond it. My name is Kevin Kessler, and I am joined, as always, by my good buddy, Peter Mandel.
Kevin Kessler.
Peter Mandel.
How are you?
I'm good. You still got the beard.
Yeah, still got the beard.
It's still there.
This is my last week with it, though, so.
That's what you said last week.
Well, I got my birthday coming up, and like we're doing a little shindig. So I'm gonna have to shave it, which I'm not thrilled about because I kind of like it, but I promised Heather I would cut it off.
Folks, we are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day, and we want to share that magic with you. So pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones, and let's experience the magic together. Pete,
Kevin,
what's going on?
What are you
doing? I actually have some kind of big news to share this week, and I don't know if you've heard this news yet. I don't know if I told you.
Oh, nice. What is it?
So I made an announcement about this on Facebook, so if this is the second time you're hearing it, folks, I apologize. But I signed a publishing contract with Lavish Publishing LLC last week.
Wow.
Yeah. Did I tell you about that?
Yeah, I mean, I knew the parameters of it.
Yeah, so yeah, I actually put pen to paper late last week, and so they're going to be publishing the Rossinanti series going forward.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, the version of it that's out there now in paperback and ebook format up on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iBooks, and all that good stuff is going to be known now as the Vintage Edition.
Okay.
The first edition that came out. We will be pulling it within the next couple weeks. So if you want to get your hands on the Vintage Edition, folks, you can check it out over on Amazon.com. After that, they're going to be pulling it down. They're going to basically slap a new coat of paint on it, put some spinning rims on, and put it back out there.
That's very exciting.
Yep, so re-release hopefully coming this fall, and then I am hard at work on book two because I have deadlines now, Peter Mandel.
Is the new version going to have like illustration in it?
No, I don't think so.
Like those Harry Potter ones you can get on your e-readers where like they move and stuff?
I don't think we're there yet.
Maybe we should work on that. I'd like
that. Maybe. But, yeah, so that's kind of the big news of my life. But the big news coming up in Disney news, we're talking a lot about the 4th of July this week, folks. 4th of July in Walt Disney World. We've got some news on it. If you're going to be in Walt Disney World this coming week for 4th of July, we have all of the entertainment and firework schedules that you're going to need to know, as well as an e-ticket attraction this week focusing on Liberty Square, which is my favorite topic to talk about. So ready to dive right into the news?
Yeah, let me ask you real fast.
Sure.
Do you go, now that you're there, do you go on the 4th of July?
Well, I mean, this will be my first 4th of July here.
Oh, yeah? I feel like you've been there forever.
I know. July 11th is 1 year.
Oh, okay.
So
are you going to go on the 4th?
I am, yeah.
Wow, I'm excited to get the report.
Yeah, girlfriend's going to be here from the 4th to the 7th. So we're staying at All Star Sports, and we're doing Disney on the 4th of July.
Wow.
Yeah. The plan, you know what? I'll tell you the plan as we talk about kind of like what's going on. So the news brought to you, as always, by our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, who you heard on the show last week, and who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. Okay, so worldwide news. We've got the 4th of July entertainment lineup has been announced. So Magic Kingdom is actually going to have two nights of fireworks, and these are special fireworks, Peter Mandel.
What makes them special?
Yeah. Disney's Celebrate America, a 4th of July concert in the sky, 9 p.m. on both the 3rd and the 4th. So that is the Sunday and Monday, respectively.
Okay.
I'm going to be... So when girlfriend gets here, I'm picking her up at the airport. We're checking into the resort. And then we're going to Epcot because there's some stuff in Epcot, which I'll get to in a second. And then we're going to end up at Magic Kingdom. We have fast passes already booked, so I don't have to worry about lines. I think we got Splash, Space, and Mine Train. So nice. We're pretty set. And then I figured the rest of the night, just do shows. Do Hall of Presidents, do PhilharMagic, do
Tiki Room.
Tiki Room. Like, things that aren't going to have long waits or that have, like, those kind of, like, big waiting queue areas. Country Bears.
And are also air-conditioned.
And are air-conditioned, yes. Because not only when it's going to be that crowded, not only do you have to deal with the stifling Florida humidity, but you have to deal with the heat, the body heat of others. So I'm all ready for that. Okay,
now over at your question. Celebrating America, I would think you would have to go to do a little Sam the Eagle Muppet Vision 3D. I mean, that's really
that will happen. America. That will happen during the week, but it's not. It can't happen on the 4th of July.
You can't just be everywhere at once.
Tight schedule. Tight schedule, my friend. I would love to do a salute to all nations, but mostly America, but it's a tight schedule.
All right.
Okay, so over in DHS, speaking of which, they will be having the Star Wars Galactic Spectacular once again at 9:30. I have not seen it yet, Pete.
Wow, why not?
I just haven't gotten a chance to get over to it yet, but I will be going we will be going over to it while she's here next week. So I will have a full report when next we meet, because 4th of July falls on a Monday, and then I'm going to be, you know, indisposed Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So we are not going to have a show next week. My show put together a best of or something like that, but obviously you got 4th of July. What do you do for the 4th of July?
You know, typically we actually do a large barbecue.
I figured there was something going on at the Mandel compound.
Yeah, we are low-keying it this year. We have so much other stuff going on.
Yeah, but you don't do fireworks, right?
There's some firework action.
Like, you go to the Clark fireworks, or?
Well, okay. No.
Are you illegally shooting off fireworks in your backyard?
I'm not saying. Okay. I'm not saying.
Probably in your best interest to not say. So, good for you. Epcot. What's going on in Epcot? They're doing Illuminations Reflections of Earth with a special 4th of July finale at 10 p.m. Their Voices of Liberty will also be doing a number of special concerts that day. They'll be at the America Garden Stage Theater at 12:30, 1:45, and 3. They will also be in the American Adventure Pavilion at 4:15 and 5. Mickey, Donald, and Goofy appear in patriotic gear one day a year on the 4th of July, so I can't wait to get pictures with them at the American Adventure Pavilion. You ever seen what that looks like?
No, so you're going to have to send me your pictures.
I will definitely send you the pictures of that because it really looks cool. Like, I looked it up online, with the tri-cornered hats and the red jackets. Like, they look really,
love
really
it.
Neat.
Love it.
That's honest. To be perfectly honest, that's the entire reason we're going to Epcot, is to get those characters.
I'd be the same way.
Yeah. Oh, the other big thing is the return of the Spirit of America Fife and Drum Corps, which has not been seen since October of 2014, coming back this 4th of July for one day only for shows at 2:15, 3 o'clock, 4, and 4:45.
Okay.
So that is, and obviously Animal Kingdom doesn't really have much going on for 4th of July. Because, you know, not America.
Okay.
Okay, so also in worldwide news. Okay, so I wanted to talk about this story because I feel like it's something that we have to let people know about and people have been asking about. But I don't want to focus too heavily on it just because, obviously, folks, there was a thing that happened in Walt Disney World in the last couple weeks. And we decided not to talk about it just because it's very upsetting. It kind of, you know, if you want information on this, there's plenty of information on this out there. We like to keep the show fun. We like to keep it lighthearted. It would probably be better to not dwell on situations like this. But I just wanted to announce that the Walt Disney World beaches and marinas are back open right now. The beaches, however, are opening with a little asterisk there, Pete, because they're open from sunrise to 1 hour before sunset, and it will be staffed by cast members.
Interesting.
Yeah. The boat rentals are back open. You can rent a boat from the marinas at any of the resorts that do it. Wilderness Lodge, Caribbean Beach, Beach Club, Contemporary, Polynesian. I think those are all the ones that do the boat rentals. Fort Wilderness does them as well. Or maybe it was Fort Wilderness, not Wilderness Lodge. So yeah, beaches are back open with some provisos. Okay, so ready for some Epcot news?
Yes, let's do it.
All right, so Frozen Ever After opened this past week. Remember how we've been saying that Frozen Fever has died down?
I'm guessing you're going to say...
Apparently not.
It has not.
Apparently not, Peter Mandel, because the first day, wait times in excess of 300 100 minutes.
That's bananas.
That's 5 hours.
Now, I know you're committed, so I know you waited that 5 hours.
I didn't. I was one of the lucky few who got a fast pass, and I haven't been on it yet, but I have a fast pass for the 5th. So
nice.
So I got to hand it to girlfriend because she got it. Like, she found one, and I was just like, how did you get that? And I still don't know how. But, I mean, she got us Mine Train and Frozen with, like, 2 weeks' notice. So that's some talent.
That's impressive.
So, yeah, 5 hours in line. Apparently they were handing out, like, snacks and drinks and stuff to people in line. But, like, I mean, you better be given a meal at that point. 5 hours of your day? Like,
yeah, I don't know how they do it.
I could never. There's nothing in this world I think I can wait 5 hours for. Now, what would happen if you went there, you didn't have a fast pass, and your kids were dying to go on this ride?
No.
But the wait is 5 hours. How do you break it to them?
Well, my children are both pretty practical, I'm not going to lie. Yeah. So I think they would be like, are we ever going to come back to Disney World? And if the answer was yes, I think they'd be okay with not doing it.
Okay. I mean, I've been hearing good things about the attraction.
I would hope so.
Apparently, it has been suffering some breakdowns, but, I mean, that is kind of what happens when new attractions roll out.
I've heard that also, but that's to be expected.
But could you imagine, like, you wait 5 hours to go on this ride? You get on the ride, and, like, the big Elsa moment where she's belting Let It Go, the animatronic doesn't work, and it just looks like a faceless mannequin.
Well, could you imagine you still have about an hour to go on that line, and, like, oh, it's shut down.
Mm-hmm. They were shutting the line down a bunch of times just because they couldn't take any more people.
That queue must be lengthy.
Well, I mean, the Maelstrom queue was never anything major. No. And that's why, like, it was kind of still a head-scratcher to me, the fact that they just kind of converted that ride into a new one. Also, remember the window where you could see the boats going by outside of Maelstrom?
Mm-hmm.
They have boarded that up.
Okay.
So that you can't see inside the ride anymore.
That's kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I have not watched any ride-throughs or anything like that because I want it to be a surprise.
Yeah, me too. I've seen videos, but I refuse to watch them.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is the new hot fast pass to get, though. Like, this is your new, like, 60 days out, you better be trying to get this and not Mine Train.
Well, you know, you got to think. Now, fast pass is not at midnight anymore, right? They moved it to the morning?
7 or 7:30, yeah.
Okay.
I think it's 7.
If you get on at 7, 60 days out, you got to think you're going to get one.
Maybe.
I mean, they have a lot of fast passes for during the day.
Yeah,
it's not like they have 1,000. You know what I mean? They probably have more than that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fast passes. You know what I mean? Now, listen, if you decide to sleep in a little bit, you know, maybe you don't get it.
Yeah, probably.
You know?
So, Disney's Hollywood Studios news, they are putting a Pete's Dragon preview in Walt Disney One Man's Dream.
Okay.
The upcoming Disney live-action remake of Pete's Dragon, which you know what? I was never a fan of Pete's Dragon growing up.
I was.
I wasn't, were you a fan of Pete's Dragon because his name was Pete?
No, actually. My mom, like, actually, would play the music on the piano and taught me a little bit on piano. So we had this kind of connection over Pete's Dragon.
Oh, so are you going to bring in like a keyboard next week and play us a little Pete's Dragon?
I was thinking about it.
Oh, well, you know, if you decide that's what's going to happen, we could take requests.
Unless there's no show next week and then I'll just be playing it to nobody.
True. Very true. So that's going to be going on. They did that for the Jungle Book. They did for Alice in Wonderland. They do it pretty much for all the big movies that are coming out. They did it for Zootopia as well, so.
Right.
And for the life of me, I still haven't seen how it works. Like, are they just not playing the Walt Disney movie?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I will have to investigate on this and have an answer for us at another time. The Star Wars Galactic Spectacular Dessert Party has been moved to Peter Mandel.
Okay.
It was originally right there in that center stage courtyard. However, they've moved it inside into the air conditioning into the launch bay.
All right.
So you have dessert in the launch bay and your drinks and whatever, and then they move you, which I'm assuming they're taking the Disney Infinity room out and using that for the dessert party.
Right, that makes sense.
And then they move you out 15 minutes before the show, they move you out into a VIP viewing area. But okay. I thought part of the allure of these dessert parties was you're snacking on desserts while you watch the fireworks.
I'm pretty sure that is it.
well, now you're not doing that anymore. Now you're snacking on desserts inside the launch bay and then being shuffled outside like a herd of cattle into the VIP area.
Right. That doesn't sound fun.
No, probably not. So anyway, folks, if you're interested in that, it is $69 for adults and $39 for kids. And that is the news this week.
Man, $69 is a lot.
That's a lot for some dessert. But I think alcoholic beverages come with it.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. So like, I could see that kind of being worth it for like an open bar situation.
I mean, when we did the dessert party, I think it was $37. And I remember thinking that was a lot.
You did the Magic Kingdom one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's the news. Not a lot of news this week.
Not bad.
You know, coming up on a holiday week. Disney's a little busy. So we are going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to hear from our wonderful, amazing sponsors who we love and we thank for supporting us, and the rest of the White Dragon Podcast Network, who, you know, we kind of enjoy. And then we'll be back with our e-ticket attraction of the week. So stay tuned. More Two Men and the Mouse coming at you right after this. You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course.
Your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier, makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. That sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. Very easy to work with, and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I did
that.
That's
like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
You give them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weikert autograph books.
Of course.
Well, Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weikert.
Depends on his name on it.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer. Folks, take the stress out of your life. Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse. If you and your family are taking a trip to the Orlando area this year, your little ones deserve to stroll in style. Lugging a stroller from home can be an annoying and frustrating part of the first leg of your journey, and renting those hard plastic strollers from Disney theme parks can be both costly and uncomfortable for your kids. Well, I'm here to tell you about the solution to your child transport problems, and that's Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is a Disney-featured stroller and crib provider that does exactly what you're looking for at a great price. Not only is it less expensive than renting a stroller from the theme parks themselves, but these are padded luxury models with features like drink holders, canopies, storage baskets, and more. What's more, you keep this stroller with you for your entire trip, whereas park-rented strollers, you gotta return them before you leave the park that day. This is gonna make those late-night post-fireworks bus stop queues so much easier, and dad's shoulders are gonna thank you for it. So, how does it work? You just go to kingdomstrollers.com and make your selection on the stroller or crib that's right for your child. Just let the good folks over there know a great time for delivery and pickup and where you'll be staying. You can pick your stroller or crib up from the luggage stand at your resort and then drop them back off there at the end of your stay. So pack light, leave your stroller at home, and save up to a whopping 50% versus park price stroller rentals when you visit kingdomstrollers.com. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving things that you dream of in The Wisdom of Walt, and put Walt to work for you. The experts told Walt Disney that it would never work. A giant theme park where parents and children could play together? Crazy. So Walt put all of his money into this crazy dream of his. He put his reputation on the line, and anyone else would have quit, discouraged and disillusioned. But Walt Disney built Disneyland. So how did he go from dreaming to doing? And how can you do the same, no matter what your goal? In The Wisdom of Walt, Professor Jeffrey Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, Barnes creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. In The Wisdom of Walt, you'll learn to listen to your Walter ego and start trusting yourself, go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland success, make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet, and create e-ticket experiences that keep coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available in four different modes: hardcover, paperback, ebook, and audiobook, and it has been the number one bestseller on Amazon in five different categories, including theme parks and personal success in business. To pick up your copy of The Wisdom of Walt today, go to Amazon.com or check out thewisdomofwalt.com. With The Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away.
Do you like the Disney parks? I do too. So does my little sister. That's why we started a podcast about them. Hi, I'm Dimitri Ravanis. The name of our show is The Extra Magic Hour. You can hear new episodes each and every Thursday here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. You can also find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Now, in addition to telling you what we love about the parks and doling out some news and tips, we'll do something a little different. We'll tell you what we hate about the parks, where the mouse can improve, and we'll do some fighting. Well, not fighting. We call it friendly debate. Things that Disney fans have been debating and arguing about forever and ever. You'll hear them played out in real time between a brother and a sister every Thursday right here on the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Hi there, this is Monica Pinto from the Mouse in Our House podcast, inviting you to join me here every other Friday for all things Disney from my perspective. Let's face it, with our fast-paced lives in a crazy world, always running from one place to another, from hectic work days to family responsibilities, from household chores to those never-ending errands, it sometimes seems impossible to survive until your next Disney trip. How to turn that around? Easy, by keeping a little bit of that Disney magic in our everyday lives. So go ahead, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and a little something sweet, and let's chat Disney. Join me here on the White Dragon Podcast Network every other Friday, where we'll celebrate all the magic, all the fun, all the memories, and even some stuff that's not so magical. But don't worry, a little bit of pixie dust should take care of that. So until then, I hope you remember to keep the mouse in your house.
Hey folks, Kev here with some news about how you, the listener, can help out your favorite podcast network. And by that, I mean the White Dragon Podcast Network. I hope I didn't need explaining. Are you an online shopper? Chances are the answer to that is yes. Well, if you're going to be doing any shopping on Amazon.com and would like a cost-free way to support your favorite free podcasts, then head over to WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com and click on the Amazon banner at the top of the page. It takes you to the same Amazon page you've always gone to. You don't pay a penny extra, and the White Dragon Podcast Network gets a small percentage of what you buy. If you're looking to support the network in a more direct manner, you can go to WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com/sponsor and make a small monetary donation to the upkeep of the server, website, and network in general. No amount is too small, and all donations will be recognized on Two Men and the Mouse, Mouselanius, and Bat Squad Radio. Thank you so much. It's through the support of dedicated listeners like you that these shows remain on the air and free for everyone. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for your continued attention and for your support of the White Dragon Podcast Network. Folks, here in the United States of America, it is time for the 4th of July, Independence Day, the day during the summer months where we get together to celebrate when America Brexited from Britain back in the late 1700s. Yes, before there was a Brexit from the European Union, the United States tore itself away, 13 colonies coming together to form a new nation that would continue to expand outward and one day achieve its greatest goal, that being to have not one, but two Disney parks within it. So, inside the Magic Kingdom, which very much can tell the story of America in many different ways, there is one place that signifies America and the 4th of July more than any other, and that is my favorite land in the Magic Kingdom, Pete. which is Liberty Square.
Probably it really is your favorite.
It really is my favorite, so much so that other Disney podcasts like keep asking me to come on to talk about Liberty Square, because it's a subject that I've researched a lot. It's something that I am very passionate about, and it's just, in my opinion, it's got my favorite attraction. It's got some of my favorite food. It's really just, and while it is the smallest land in the Magic Kingdom, it is a cannot-miss part of your Disney vacation. So that is why this week, for our e-ticket attraction of the week, Pete and I are bringing back our ever-popular Disney In-Depth segment. We haven't done a DID in a while. Been a while.
I like it.
Been
it's
a
like
while.
Like a learning experience.
Yep. So we are going Disney In-Depth on Liberty Square. And the e-ticket attraction this week is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. For all your crib and stroller rental needs, visit KingdomStrollers.com. Okay, so Liberty Square. You know, I almost think it's, like, too punny to say, like, it's filled with history. But it is filled with history, not just American history, but Disney history as well.
Right.
Walt Disney, Walt Disney had wanted to create a Liberty Square-type area in Disneyland. I believe he was going to call it Liberty Street.
Okay.
And that never happened. It was supposed to be, like, an offshoot of Main Street USA called Liberty Street, which was supposed to have an attraction that detailed the presidents of the United States of America, as well as, you know, kind of displaying this Revolutionary War era. That never happened in Disneyland, but when it was time to accomplish Walt's greatest dream, to create Walt Disney World, the concept for Liberty Square came back up on the table. It was conceived to rival and kind of mirror New Orleans Square in California. So they wanted, California Disneyland has New Orleans Square, Walt Disney World has Liberty Square. Now you've been into New Orleans.
Yeah.
How do you like it?
I like it. I mean, I think it's themed pretty well.
Do you feel like you're in the bayou?
I mean, if you go in the restaurant, into the Blue Bayou restaurant, I mean, yes. No, outside in the park, it's just like nicely themed.
But it's not themed the way that like Liberty Square kind of immerses you in a time period, right?
No. I mean, I like the fact that Liberty Square is only in Disney World.
Yeah, I like that, too. I mean, I really, really enjoy that. It's not like you could put it in Disneyland Paris or anything like that.
Right. No, yeah. I mean, this is like a Disney World exclusive, and it makes sense.
So Liberty Square was designed to mirror early American 18th century, and the theming had a concentration on the Revolutionary War era. So this was also made because it was part of the Magic Kingdom's opening in 1971, the October 1st, 1971, the birth of Walt Disney World, which is only 5 years removed from not only the bicentennial, but the year of Peter Mandel's birth.
Yep.
So the bicentennial is coming up. They want to open up this Liberty Square and have it be there and be just the center of American patriotism for the big bicentennial, 200 years since the U.S. signed a big piece of paper telling England we were done. We were fed up. I think Easter eggs are one of the big things that I love the most about Liberty Square, and I think it's why I love Liberty Square the way I do.
Okay, I get that.
So much detail and like little historical things were kind of thrown in there just to kind of accentuate the theming of Liberty Square. So first and foremost, the one we got to talk about, I know, is the one that you don't like to hear about.
I was hoping to avoid this.
That is the brown line that runs down the center of Liberty Square. So
correct.
Back in colonial times, there was no such thing as indoor plumbing or any kind of like plumbing system. So
bummer.
The streets were actually curved inward to form kind of a gutter system that would always run towards a body of water. People inside would toss their
Waste,
I think, is the best way to say it. They would toss
waste.
Yes, they would empty their chamber pots out the window, and it would gather in the middle of the street and flow towards the nearest lake or river or whatever it was. That is actually also why typically a gentleman will walk on the outside of the lady as they walk down the street, so that if someone threw something out the window, it would hit the gentleman and not the lady.
Right.
So when you walk down the center of Liberty Square and you see that brown line going down the center, that is a river of poop that you're walking through. It's a wasteland. Did you ever tell your kids that little factoid?
I'm pretty sure I didn't.
I didn't think you did. One day, I'm going to see you guys in Magic Kingdom. I'm going to be like, Ethan, you know what that is? And then you're going to have to answer a lot of questions.
And he's going to be like, yeah, waste.
Yeah, waste. Okay, so one of the other things, like, have you ever noticed, this is something nobody ever notices until it's pointed out to them. Have you ever noticed that the shutters on the sides of the windows are kind of slanted in Liberty Square? Do you know why that is?
I do, actually.
Oh, okay, cool. Do you want to tell us?
A lot of metal came from Europe. England was not really sending metal at that point because they didn't want it melted down and made into bullets. So they used leather straps to put the shutters up there. And eventually, over time, leather tends to expand and stretch, hence why they're not straight.
I love that. I really love that. The warped leather that kind of gives it that slanted appearance. I think that that's such a cool little factoid, a cool little item that they just kind of included in this. How about the fire insurance notes in the window? Have you ever noticed those?
No, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so back there, if you look at some of the windows in Liberty Square, you will see a notice in the window that has an emblem on it that details that fire insurance was purchased for this home. Now, fire insurance nowadays is, you know, we know what that is, but back in the late 1700s, fire insurance was a much different thing. Fire insurance meant that if your home caught on fire and you had purchased fire insurance, the fire brigade would show up and put the fire out. Sounds reasonable, right?
It does.
If you had not purchased fire insurance, the fire brigade would show up, keep the fire from spreading to other houses, and watch your house burn to the ground.
Right.
Yeah. Which might be the most American thing I've ever heard in my life. I'm actually shocked this hasn't come back. But... also, the Liberty Tree itself, not the Liberty Tree Tavern, we will get to that later, but the Liberty Tree is actually a real 100-year-old oak. Because I've heard a lot of people being like, oh, well, the Liberty Tree's fake. It's a fiberglass. No, it's a real 100-year-old oak.
It's a real tree.
Yep, that was found elsewhere on Disney property that they transplanted and put right in the center of Liberty Square. It has 13 lanterns that hang from it that detail the 13 original colonies. There is also... up in the House of Burgesses, there are two lanterns in the window. You know what that signifies?
No, what is it?
The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere, which when the British were coming, you would light lanterns in the window, one if by land, two if by sea.
Nice.
So those two lanterns are in the window to show two coming by sea. Also, there are 13 state flags in the center of Liberty Square, right by the Liberty Bell. The 13 state flags are of the 13 original colonies, plus the American flag flying in the center of them. And the Liberty Bell that stands right there is, as Corinne Chandler, you know, obnoxiously pointed out to us, not a official replica of the Liberty Bell that was just lying around. It is a replica that was made from an actual cast of the Liberty Bell.
You know, I've heard all sorts of different things. I've heard that, like, states were given these replicas, that's how they got it.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, because they were saying, like, Pennsylvania was given an extra one, and they didn't need it, so they gave it to Walt Disney. No.
Right, so what is the deal? When was it actually made?
It was just made out of a mold. It's not that... In one of our first Corinne episodes, when she famously came onto the show, she pointed out that is an untrue piece of trivia. A Disney legend, if you will.
Was it made for, like, Disney World?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. As far as I understand.
Does anyone ring the bell?
No, but I heard that if you get close enough, you can lick the Liberty Bell.
Oh, interesting.
It tastes like freedom. And pennies.
Freedom lay.
So, let's talk attractions. I think do you think we should start off with the Hall of Presidents or end with it being that it's 4th of July week?
Nah, I think start with it.
We're going to start with the Hall of Presidents. The Hall of Presidents was, I remember when my dad first told me about Disney World we went when I was two. I didn't really know much about it. I thought Mickey Mouse lived there, and which he does. But when I was 12 and we took our second trip, one of the things my dad told me about was the Hall of Presidents. It was one of the first, like, lores that kind of sparked my imagination as a child, that there is a place where you get to see robots of every single American president.
Okay.
So, originally, Walt Disney wanted wanted this for Liberty Street, and it was going to be called One Nation Under God. And the idea was for there to be wax figures of every president in there. Then came along the concept of audio animatronics, Walt Disney famously finding that bird. That was when the 1964-65 World's Fair was approaching, and he created what was known as Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln, which was a audio, the first ever human audio animatronic, Abraham Lincoln, doing a speech, basically reciting various speeches, snippets of his famous speeches throughout the years. It stood up, it moved around in ways no one had ever seen before, and can you imagine seeing that in 1964?
Yeah, I mean, really, the precursor to Hall Presidents, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. So when Liberty Square was invented, they decided that they could make another one of Walt's dreams come true and create the Hall of Presidents. The way the ride is laid out, the movie plays with narration, which has changed over the years. The curtain rises on the presidents of the United States of America, all gathered within one room together. The presidents are all called off in a roll call by the narrator, and each president will move and respond to their name being called. I also love to watch the other presidents in the background, Pete.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Because they all react to stuff, and I think that's an amazing thing. Then the current president will speak and recite a pre-recorded speech. And I think, again, one of the cooler aspects of the Hall of Presidents. The sitting presidents that have appeared in the Hall of Presidents, first one was Richard Nixon.
Okay.
Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama. The only presidents that have actually recorded their speeches are Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama. They were not doing the speeches before Bill Clinton.
I can remember when Bill Clinton went and did that. It was like a big deal.
Yeah, but you know, no sitting president has ever visited the Hall of Presidents to see themselves speak.
Really?
Yep, that is
a fact.
Is that because
they had like other stuff to do?
I would hope so. Like I would hope they're doing other things, but... So, the original voice of the Hall of Presidents, the original narrator, was Lawrence Dobkin, until the major refurbishment of the attraction came in 1993, so it took a full 22 years for the attraction to be updated and refurbished. The narration was changed to focus more on civil rights issues and slavery, and the narration was changed to Maya Angelou. This was also when Bill Clinton came in to record that speech, and for the first time ever, the actual President of the United States spoke in the Hall of Presidents. In 2001, the attraction was updated again to add new President George W. Bush, and again, the change of narrator, with J.D. Hall becoming the narrator. American actor J.D. Hall became the narrator of the Hall of Presidents. In 2009, a major refurbishment was done, which kind of changed up the entire course of the show. So, like, before that, Lincoln would get up in the middle of like the president's being called, or like after the president's being called, and he would give his speech. Now Lincoln gets up in the middle of the show, like the movie plays, and then we take a break. We see Lincoln. He stands up. He delivers the Gettysburg Address, and he sits back down. And then we get into the show proper. Right?
Yep.
So. Also added that year was that the current president, on top of, would, instead of reciting a speech, would recite the oath of office given to him by George Washington, who had never spoken in the attraction before.
I mean, that's a pretty cool crossover.
Yeah, to see crossover is definitely the right word for it. It's like when Barry Allen meets Jay Garrick.
Right, but better.
But more patriotic. Also, the big my favorite thing that they added into the Hall of Presidents in the 2009 refurbishment is, and by the way, we got so many complaints that we missed this one in our top celebrity.
Oh,
appears
what is
as
it?
An attraction, Morgan Freeman as the narrator of the Hall of Presidents.
Oh, okay.
Peter Mandel, this is Morgan Freeman. I have to say that I was very distraught to hear that I was not included on your list. Morgan Freeman's pretty hot at you right now, Pete.
He would have been lower than Martin Short, I'm sure.
I listened. I heard number 10. And then number 9. 8 came. Along with 7 and 6. And still. my name was not called. I assumed that I was in the top five. But then came five, and then four, and then three, and then two, and then one. Peter Mandel, how could you do this to me? He's looking at you, Pete. He knows that you have more of these, more say in these lists than I do.
You know, I'll take the blame for that one.
You gonna apologize to Mr. Freeman?
No, I don't feel bad. I'd have to review the list. We'll see about next time.
Think about what that guy's been through in his life, Pete. He was in Shawshank.
That's true.
And come on, he fought in the Civil War. He made the Batmobile.
Yeah, don't love that part.
Okay, so the other great thing, one of the other really cool things about the Hall of Presidents is that every president up through George W. Bush was sculpted by legendary Disney Imagineer Blaine Gibson. Barack Obama was sculpted by his, because, you know, Blaine Gibson got old. Right. Barack Obama was sculpted by his apprentice, Valerie Edwards, with oversight from Blaine Gibson. So I think that's like a cool thing that they always had to say. Even long after he had retired from the Disney company, Pete, he would still come in every 4 to 8 years and create a new president.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, so that is the Hall of Presidents. Anything you wanted to add about that?
Nope. Love it.
I love the Hall of Presidents so much. The Haunted Mansion.
Hey, real quick, and I feel like this is a big oversight. We don't want this. What about the seal?
Oh, yes, the seal of the Presidents of the United States of America. It's one of very few seals of the president that exists in the world, and it's there in the lobby.
I think there's only like three, right?
I think so. One of them's in the White House, one of them's in Disney, and I don't remember where the other one was.
I want to say Philly somewhere.
Yeah, probably.
I think you're wrong about that, but I know there's not more than that.
Yeah, it's the great seal of the President of the United States of America right in the center of the floor. You can't walk on it. There's a gate.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It.
I love how they have it roped off. And I can remember Ethan being, you know, first time we did it when he was pretty young, he was like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is someplace you can't walk.
Yeah. I also love like the actual historical artifacts from the presidents that are in the lobby as well.
Yeah, it's a great lobby.
It is. I love George W. Bush's boots. I think they say Prez on them. Like Prez.
It's awesome.
Yeah, they're awesome. They're awesome cowboy boots. They were his inauguration boots. So the Haunted Mansion exists kind of removed from the rest of Liberty Square, and I like that. It just kind of looms imposing. Like, when you're in Liberty Square proper, you can't see it. But as you turn that corner around Independence Hall, you can see Gracie Manor of the Haunted Mansion looming above you in the distance. And everything, as you approach the Haunted Mansion, the entire theming of the area shifts, which I think is wonderful.
I do too.
And when you look at the Haunted Mansion, I mean, it's built so large, and it's built up on that hill so that it looms and towers over you, makes it more imposing. And everything from, you know, the hearse outside to the black wreath on the door, which signified that there was death inside and enter at your own risk. The upside down horseshoes that are hung in the stable area to show you that all the luck has run out. Couple that with a really stellar interactive queue at this point. You got that mystery with all those busts in the beginning. You've got the organ. You've got Master Gracie's grave, which everyone keeps laying flowers on now, which I think is awesome. You've got the Prudence lady, Constance Prudence or whatever, the poet, where you can actually like talk. You could actually talk to her and interact with her, which is pretty neat. Or you could talk the answers to her. You have the ship captain's watery grave. You have the ring, the bride's ring, embedded in the ground. And then you have the Haunted Mansion itself, which is just a marvel of special effects. And just the new Hitchhiking Ghost stuff that they do is pretty cool. When the Hitchhiking Ghost reads your magic band.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know. I don't know anything about.
Oh, yeah. So, like, you'll get in the Doom Buggy and one of the Hitchhiking Ghosts will appear behind you. And it'll hold up a sign that'll say, like, New Jersey, here we come or something like that.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Because it knows where you're from. Because it reads it reads the RF antenna in your magic band. They do it on Small World, too, now.
I don't know if I want those ghosts to have that kind of information about me.
Yeah, I know. I understand. It's a security issue, yeah.
Yeah, I knew they did it on Small World.
Yeah, but there's all... And, like, they have all new animations that the Hitchhiking Ghosts do now. So it's definitely going to be fun for you on your next trip.
Oh, can't wait.
So, I mean, I'm kind of breezing through the Haunted Mansion a little bit because...
Well, we've done the Haunted
Mansion. We've done it to death. Like, there, we have a whole episode on the Haunted Mansion, I believe back during the first Halloween that that the show was done during. So head on back, check it out. We did a whole Disney in Death on the Haunted Mansion where we spend a lot of time on it. So the other Haunted Mansion, in my opinion, is the greatest Disney attraction in existence. I mean,
it's perfect.
Awesome. And so then when we go from the very best to, you know, one that's just kind of there, that is the Liberty Square Riverboat. Have you ever done it?
Nope. Have you?
I have once.
And?
You know, it's a boat.
I always want to do it. It's on that list of things that I'm like, I guess I should do that.
Here's the thing. It takes you to an area that you've never seen. And you get to see, like, things that you never knew were there.
I feel like maybe I'd like to go on it just for pictures.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely get some cool pictures, especially, like, pictures of the Haunted Mansion, things like that.
Right.
The one thing that I saw, like, it's used for a lot, they on Dapper Day, which the less said about that experience, the better. But I didn't like Dapper Day. On Dapper Day, they actually do a big photo shoot with everyone in their dapper clothes. They get on the riverboat. And,
oh, you didn't like Dapper Day? I thought it sounded okay.
You think it sounds okay to be in a suit in the middle of Walt Disney World in the blazing heat?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't say I was going. I said I thought it sounded okay.
Here's the thing. I was like, all right, guys, like my friends were all like dappered out and they were acting like this was Christmas. And I was like, all right, guys, so you like want to go like do pirates or something? And they all looked at me like I had three heads. And I was like, what? And they're like, it's Dapper Day. I'm like, well, yeah, we're wearing the funny clothes. So like, let's go do stuff. And they were like, you don't go on rides on Dapper Day. I'm like, well, what do you do? They're like, you walk around in your nice clothes and you take pictures. I said, so let me get this straight. Dapper Day is all the worst parts of being in a wedding.
Did you dapper up?
I was semi-dappered up.
Oh, you were like micro-dapp.
I was in a button-down long-sleeve shirt and slacks, so.
But there were no bold collars or bow ties?
No.
Okay.
I purchased suspenders and a bow tie because they were only on eBay. They were like $2. And just chose not to wear them because they looked ridiculous.
Huh.
And I had a newsboy cap that I also chose not to wear. I enjoyed the people that, like, Disney-bounded with it. Like, there was one guy that was in, like, a full-blown Donald Duck suit.
That's pretty cool.
Like, the white pants and the blue jacket, and, like, he had a hat, like, a blue sailor's hat on. I was like, wow, that's really cool. And, like, I think he even had, like, yellow shoes on and stuff like that, like, yellow dress shoes.
Okay.
But all, like, the Dapper Day people were like, ugh, a Disney-bounder.
I get that. It almost doesn't fit.
I was like, come on. Like, that's how they do Dapper. Like, I thought it was great. I actually have decided that next year I'm going to launch a counteroffensive to Dapper Day. It will be called Napper Day. And I will attend in a onesie pajamas with the little feeties on them and a nightcap with a Duffy. And I will take pictures of myself napping in various places in Walt Disney World.
I see what you did there with the play on words.
Yeah. You know, I was also thinking about a day where, like, you just take pictures of yourself running into the bathroom and it's Crapper Day.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't work as well.
Yeah.
Although there are a lot of conveniently located bathrooms.
You can do one where, like, you have, like, just a big blank piece of parchment and you're doing, like, cartography around the parks and it's Mapper Day.
Okay. That's pretty good. That would fit in with Liberty Square.
I could wear, like, MC Hammer pants and, like, a big gold, like, chain with a giant watch and a Viking hat, and it could be Rapper Day.
Okay, why MC Hammer?
Why not MC Hammer? That's the better question.
I don't know. I just thought you...
What, does it have to be Vanilla Ice?
Oh, I love Vanilla Ice. That's
yeah,
true.
Me too. It should be Vanilla. I should do Vanilla Ice. Or you can go in tap shoes and tap dance around Main Street USA, and it could be Tapper Day.
All right.
Or, you know, you can just, like, try... You can, like... With the feety pajamas, you can also, like, find, like, the carpet, let's say, like, in the Hall of Presidents, and, like, run your feet along the carpet, and then, like, zap people with static electricity, and it's Zapper Day.
Oh, that wouldn't be bad.
I mean, there's also lots of wild, like, squirrels and ducks. You could set up little traps, and it could be Trapper Day.
Okay, Peter might have a problem with that.
Yeah. Okay, so, Liberty Square Riverboat, it exists. So, I wanted to talk real quick about the dining options that they have in Liberty Square. So there is the Columbia Harbor House, one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah. You know, I think Liberty Square underrated for their food.
Absolutely. I mean, there's some of the...
I don't think of Liberty Square when I think of, like, where am I going to eat? But there's actually some solid food choices.
Absolutely. There most certainly is. Now, you know what? I was looking at the menu for Columbia Harbor House before we went on the air. I actually don't see the seafood mac and cheese on the menu anymore, and it's been a while since I've tried to get it, so I'm a little worried that it's not there anymore.
Huh.
But they do have the Lighthouse Sandwich, which is a hummus and tomato and broccoli slaw sandwich. They have a lobster roll, which I don't remember being on there before, so that might have replaced the seafood mac and cheese. They have the Anchors Away Sandwich, which is a tuna fish sandwich that a lot of people really enjoy. However, I can't justify paying almost $10 for a tuna fish sandwich. They have a fried shrimp platter, a nuggets and fish platter, a battered fish platter, chicken pot pie, grilled salmon, broccoli peppercorn salad, vegetarian chili, New England clam chowder, which everyone raves about. Everyone loves the New England clam chowder at Columbia Harbor House. I will wait until the winter to try it. It's not really what I want in the middle of the summer.
I agree.
They have couscous, steamed broccoli, and a seasonal cobbler for dessert. I mean, it is a home run quick service restaurant, complete with like the double decker seating, the two floors.
Does anything get better than the cobbler?
No, nothing gets better than the cobbler. You know, one of my personal favorite things, and something that I feel like a lot of people just kind of walk by because it doesn't look super impressive and it's an outdoor area, is the Liberty Square Market.
Yeah, I mean, I got to be honest with you. I mean, I walk by it how many times a trip, but
you never really
pay attention.
Nope. And, you know, the first thing people see is like the fruit and the vegetables that are kind of like chilling there on ice. And I guess they just consider it a fruit stand and keep going. But you have to look. They sell hot dogs. They sell baked potatoes there, Peter Mandel.
What would I do with that?
You'd eat it.
Okay.
Baked potato for... And the baked potatoes, only $3.39 for a baked potato.
What's it have on it?
What?
What's it have on it?
I think I saw a picture that had, like, sour cream and, like, cheese and stuff.
Oh, okay.
They also have baked sweet potatoes, also for $3.39. They have pickles for $1.59 if you're ever like, you know what I can really go for right now?
Oh, I love pickles.
Like, when I would go to the Ren Fair, there was always, like, a pickle, like, stand where they would, like, take them out of a barrel. And, yeah, like, I would totally do the pickles.
Kevin, write it down right now. Next time I go, I am walking by there and buying a pickle. I could eat pickles whenever.
Yeah, same here. Like, I always, there's always a jar of pickles in my fridge. So, and the pickles are only $1.59.
Okay.
And that, a pickle is, like, a good, refreshing, cold snack, like, when you
I love
it.
Do you know what kind of pickle it is?
I don't. I want to say it's a dill, but I'm not.
I mean, I like a really good dill pickle.
Yeah, I think it's a dill. I know they're, like, individually wrapped, and, like, you know, it's a decent pickle.
Okay.
They also one of the few places, if you're like me and you drink nothing but seltzer water, it is one of the few places on property that you can actually purchase seltzer water.
Interesting.
It was Dasani, which I don't love because it's got sodium in it, but I recently saw, when I looked at the menu, it said Seagram's, so it might just be Seagram's seltzer water right now, which I like a lot better.
Good.
The main event of dining at... you know what? Let's do Sleepy Hollow next. Sleepy Hollow, definitely a great place to get your sweet tooth on. Lots of... It's more of a snack location, but what you can get there, fresh fruit waffle with chocolate hazelnut spread, which you can't for some reason say Nutella, a waffle with cinnamon, waffle with strawberries and whipped cream, waffle with powdered sugar, funnel cakes with cinnamon, so it's funnel cake with powdered sugar, funnel cake with cinnamon, funnel cakes with strawberries and whipped cream, ice cream cookie sandwich, which we've talked about is massive, the chocolate chunk cookie, as well as iced coffee, hot cocoa, coffee, and tea. Sleepy Hollow, I assume, is one of your big go-tos.
I'm a big fan of it. If I had one gripe about it, I feel like the actual structure of the line is not designed for more than, let's say, six people.
I'm with you.
It's crazy.
I'm with you on that. Yeah.
I mean, you don't know where to go. It's insane. I mean, they have like a little window. So if they're back up and they have 6-10 orders, you are now kind of in no man's land. It's a little crazy. But that is my lone gripe for a place where you get some pretty impressively sized snacks.
And have you ever had one of the waffles there?
I'm trying to think. I'm pretty sure Ethan had one.
I mean, listen, if you really like fresh waffles, like freshly pressed waffles, they're not Mickey waffles, but like this is a good place for you. It's also a great place to grab breakfast in the Magic Kingdom just because, you know, waffles. If you get the waffles with strawberries and whipped cream, don't like I originally was like, "Oh, we have to get syrup." And I had the syrup packages, and then once I tasted it without the syrup, It was just kind of like, oh, no syrup needed.
I gotta say, it's one of the things I like about that place is, you know, and no knock towards the other snack spots, but a lot of times when you get a snack in Disney, you're getting the same snack you could get over here.
Of course.
And this place is pretty, you know, unique. Like, I told you, with the ice cream sandwich, the first time we got it, I mean, I wasn't really prepared for, you know, this freshly made item, like, being handed out the window to me.
Absolutely.
So it is a pretty impressive place.
All right, so Liberty Tree Tavern is kind of the main event. I know the Disney website says the Diamond Horseshoe is part of Liberty Square, but I really consider that part of Frontierland, and I do too. So Liberty Tree Tavern is probably my favorite Magic Kingdom sit-down restaurant.
And really?
You can either do a table service lunch or a family-style all-you-can-eat dinner. I got to say, this table service lunch menu, I never really looked at it before, and I've had it. I feel like I need to try it.
I've had it. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. If they flip-flopped this and made that family-style meal lunch and made that menu dinner, I'd go there every time.
I mean, listen, just a few things from this menu. A crab and lobster dip appetizer that serves two. Corn fritters, New England clam chowder, pot roast, a cheeseburger, which I'm hoping is like a real, like, big, thick, like, restaurant-style cheeseburger. I'm assuming it is.
I imagine.
The Pilgrim's Feast, which contains turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes, and vegetables. Freedom Pasta with either chicken or shrimp. I believe that also has like artichokes and stuff like that in it. Fish and chips, because let's not forget that at this time we were still technically British. The Liberty Boys Sandwich, which is slow roasted pork, arugula, and tomatoes on a house-made bread with caramelized shallots, pickled jalapenos, and mushroom mayo. For dessert, they have ooey gooey toffee cake, the Boston cream pie, the cobbler, the Johnny Appleseed tart, and a sugar-free sorbet. I mean, that is a game-changing
menu. Solid
menu.
Solid menu.
Family-style dinner, you are served salad, and then you get a big, massive plate for the table with turkey, pot roast, ham, mashed potatoes, veggies, stuffing, and mac and cheese. You can make your own pot roast mac and cheese with it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and they top you off with the apple tart. So, there you go. Last thing I want to touch on real quick are the two gift shops that you can find in... I mean, this is kind of your wheelhouse. The gift shops that you can find in Liberty Square. First being Ye Olde Christmas Shop. Do you guys go in there a lot?
I would love to know the amount of money I've spent in there over the years.
Is that, like... Because everyone's got, like, the Christmas shop. Do you have, like, one Christmas shop that you go to?
You know, that's my one of choice. Although, you know, that one behind... that one in Studios I end up going to, and it always kind of sneaks up on me.
It's a wonderful shop, yeah.
Yeah, but
for me, it's the Disney Springs Christmas shop. That's my one.
You know, I used to like that one a lot, and when we first started going to Disney, that was our place. We loved it. Mm-hmm. But honestly, like, I don't go to Springs too much, and something about buying it in the Magic Kingdom. I don't know.
I can see that as well. I mean, it's a really great Christmas shop. I really enjoy Ye Olde.
When we went there this time, I got to remember to take them out for fall. I bought, you know, they sell a ton of nutcrackers.
Yep.
They have Mickey and Minnie as, like, you know, the bride and, like, the Haunted Mansion style. I ended up breaking down and buying them.
Yeah, I think that's a must-have for
Halloween. I bought a couple other things. I know, right? It's so funny. You old Christmas shop, I'm clearly buying a Halloween nutcrackers, if that makes any sense. But, I'll probably leave them up the entire time.
Well,
so
that's a good segue, because the other gift shop there used to be the Yankee Trader shop. Now it is Memento Mori, which is the Haunted Mansion gift shop. I mean, I walk in there and I just want everything that's there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see too much in there I wouldn't want, which actually makes it easy in a way, because you kind of have to force yourself to just get the things you really want.
Yeah, very true. I mean, you did the portraits, right?
Yeah, we've done the portraits.
They can do ghostly portraits of you and your family.
That I think is actually, and I know it's expensive,
it is.
They sell the frames that go with it, and they're expensive.
Yep.
But you know what? To do it every couple years, I mean, I don't even know if I'd need to redo mine or Heather's, but, you know, for the kids, just because, you know, yeah, they're getting a little bit older. I just think it's cool. I think it's a neat thing.
Yep. All right. So that is Liberty Square in depth.
Love it.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
I got to tell you, the pickle is going to be a game changer.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, so that about does it for this week.
Wow, all right.
Yeah. That's going to do it for Two Men and the Mouse this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. Please make sure to give our social media pages some love. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Two Men and the Mouse. We're on Twitter at Two Men and the Mouse, Instagram at White Dragon PN. And also you can join in the discussion with us and all of our friends from around the world at facebook.com/groups/Two Men and the Mouse. Please tweet us or tag us in photos of you at the parks throughout the years. We'd love to stack our pages with photos of our great listeners enjoying that, which we all love, Disney parks. If you want your questions answered on the show, please send an email to questions@twomenandthemouse.com. And folks, if you like the show, please tweet it out, talk it up, share it on your Facebook page, give it a rating and review in iTunes. It's only through your kind words and praise that this show will continue to grow and prosper. If you love Peter Mandel and his great comic book store, Rogue Comics, right there in Cranford, New Jersey, check him out at 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, 07016. Or visit roguecomics.com, where you can find a link to Pete's eBay store. If you are planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disney Cruise, Disneyland, Adventures by Disney, any Disney resort throughout the known world, or Aulani out in Hawaii, even Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida, please look up our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weichert of Magical Travel, who you can find on Facebook as Magical Travel Dave, or email dave@magicaltravel.com. If you want to apply the wisdom of Walt to your daily life, check out thewisdomofwalt.com for the book written by college professor Jeffrey Barnes detailing Walt Disney's journey to create Disneyland and how you can apply those lessons to your own life and to accomplish your own goals. Please also, folks, if you are renting a crib or stroller while in Walt Disney World, check out our good friends at KingdomStrollers.com, who have the very best crib and strollers for rent that will deliver right to your Disney resort. And for me, please check out my book, Rocinante, which you can still find the vintage edition for a limited time, probably for another week or two only, so get moving on that. That is at facebook.com/KevinJKessler author, or you can find me on Twitter at Kevin J. Kessler. So that does it for... Thank you again for joining us, folks, this and every week. Pete, any closing words?
I guess we'll see you in 2 weeks.
See you in 2 weeks, folks. Please, folks, keep the magic alive every day of your lives and have a very happy 4th of July. We will see you in 2 weeks on Two Men and the Mouse.
So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. If this concludes your visit, we hope you've had a wonderful time and will return home safely. Thank you for traveling with us.